Good morning. I wonder how many of you have been coming to Greenbelt for more than 10 years?
Yep.
How many of you remember when the Performance Cafe was called the River?
Yeah, some of you do.
Well, we're not called the River this year, but we do have a river. And just be very, very careful of it as you come in and out. That bit is really, really soggy. Amazingly, those of you who are blocking the fire exits, this clear grass at the front is reassuringly and amazingly dry. So if you want to come in and listen to this talk in comfort, come and sit. We've got a couple of people sat down in the grass at the moment. Am I telling the truth? It is dry, isn't it? They've just put their thumbs up. Slightly muddy thumbs. Oh, no. No, are you kidding? Actually, all I can see is their thumbs. That's rather worrying. No, I'm sure we'll be fine. Now, if you can keep the exits clear there and there and an aisle clear through here, I'm sure you're in for a real treat. I'm slightly scared when I see questions like this. This could be a very short talk if the answer's either yes or no. But hopefully there'll be a bit more discussion, a bit more flesh on that. Will you please welcome, addressing the question, was Jesus a jazz musician? Philip Roderick.
Thank you very much indeed. I'd like to welcome also Mark Taylor, who is from Wakefield. I'm from South Bucks, and we met last year at Greenbelt when I was playing my hang drum in some contemplative fire worship here. And he said, wow, what's that? And so we started jamming. He came to one of the morning sessions, and we've since done some work in London, and it's great to have him here. And we wanted to just play the hang drum to you as before I began, just to have a sense of, A, the extraordinary instrument, and B, the capacity to improvise. And every now and again, we will just have a hang in together. But in fact, this is a talk. So I will be unusually sharing with you quite a lot of material from the tradition of jazz and the tradition of theology to answer the question, was Jesus a jazz musician? Well, of course he was. And of course he wasn't. So it is a both and. And in fact, qualified non-dualism, or both-andness, or getting beyond opposites, is really important for us to do. So this is a little talk about maybe Jesus was a qualified non-dualist. A question was put to Louis Armstrong. What's swing? And it is said that he replied, if you gotta ask, lady, you ain't got it. So it's a bit like grace. What's grace? Well, somehow it's a flow of energy in the being, and it's very similar, I would say, to swing or the flow or the zone. And somehow I believe that Jesus was in that flow. Not somehow, I do believe profoundly, and it may be that it's just as important and as crucial a metaphor to say jazz musician as it is when Jesus self-declared himself to be a vine or a door. We do not say a door. Where are your hinges? Jesus as a jazz musician is a metaphor. It's meant to be explored and played with. So what if we've got swing, but we haven't quite connected to it? What if we've got grace, but we haven't quite connected to it? That's the point of improvisation. So we'll be exploring in this talk something about the dance between structure and freedom, which I think is the whole discipline of what Jesus was training his disciples to be, which is what we're being equipped in. Rabbi Israel ben Tov, Shem Tov, 18th century founder of the Hasidic movement in Judaism. They're the ones who are the mystical path, if you like, of Judaism. Rabbi Israel Baal Shem Tov. He was asked, why is it that the Hasidim burst into song and dance at the slightest provocation? Is this the behavior of a healthy, sane individual? And the Baal Shem Tov responded with a story. Once a musician came to town, a musician of great but unknown talent. He stood on a street corner and began to play. Those who stopped to listen could not tear themselves away, and soon a large crowd, enthralled by the glorious music, whose equal they had never heard. Before long, they were moving to its rhythm, and the entire street was transformed into a dancing mass of humanity. And then a deaf man walked by, and he wondered, has the world gone mad? Why are the townspeople jumping up and down and swinging and moving and waving their arms and turning in circles in the middle of the street? He couldn't hear the music. And the Hasidim, the Baal Shem Tov concluded, are moved by the melody that issues forth from every creature in God's creation. If this makes them appear mad to those with less sensitive ears, should they therefore cease to dance? So I would love it after this session if you went out, found a tree or a leaf or a piece of mud, got a bit close to it, and started moving, and maybe hear its song. Because if the whole of each segment of creation, let alone the whole chemistry, the symphony of all of creation, has a melody, we need to hear it and respond to it. So could the kingdom of God be truly compared to a jazz orchestra with Jesus as band leader? My sense is yes, because band leaders have this extraordinary quality. They have structure, they have discipline, they know their gifts, but they can also acknowledge the gifts of others, and they draw those gifts out. Is this the kingdom? Which is Greenbelt a model of the kingdom with all the sounds and rhythms? Is the whole thing one of improvisational delight, but also difficulty? So we'll be looking at pattern interrupts as well as flow. Annie Lennox, Resurgence this month, has got a great summer version. And Annie Lennox was guest editor. And she writes this: music can really lead us into another dimension. Songs in particular contain something elemental. The singer actually becomes the instrument or the vehicle of communication and expression. Music, she says, is mystery, is code, a vehicle of spirit and soul. Music for me, Annie Lennox says, is pure potentiality. This is music. Remember, music is core to the Jewish people, and it's core to culture. One of the great dividers is lack of music. One of the great uniters is music. And Satish Kumar, who's the former Jain monk, he's the editor and has been for years of Resurgence, he affirms this: be it religious, classical, or folk, music is the universal language of transcendence. So the song and the melody is critical in transformation. As I say, I'm going to be sharing with you quite a few quotations from jazz masters, from those who are studying jazz, and who in their language — they may not be Christian, or they may be, many of them are not — but their language, for those of us who are attuned to the words and the inner meaning of the language, is in fact profoundly religious. So if we're looking for outreach points, connectors, boy, this culture of jazz or music or performance is offering language where bridges, upon which bridges can be built. So what is it about improvisation? Hugely underestimated, but spiritually vibrant. Hugely underestimated. Some people are quite scared about improvisation, and they would prefer to work with a structure. Some people love playing and forget the structure. The two come together. There was a sage, Hazrat Inayat Khan, and he wrote a classic little book, which is now out of print, called Music. And he says this: a traditional singer in the East never knows what he is going to sing before he starts singing. He feels the atmosphere of the place and the time, and then begins to sing or play whatever comes to him. It is a very special thing. Inayat Khan continues: the musician needs not to be restricted by a program. He needs to be left to feel by his intuition what people wanted. This is truly tribal, truly corporate. There's a sensitivity, a mutuality. And the singer or the musician had to decide at the moment he saw them, and as he went on playing or singing, he knew more. He knew more about this space, this texture. The chemical effect, Hazrat Inayat Khan says, the chemical effect of the listener's minds that he was receiving told him, the musician, what they wanted. And the result, he says, was a spiritual feast. The challenge of Jesus as a jazz musician is that we get too drawn into structures. But if we can allow the spirit to speak through the structure, then the both-andness is delightful. People have different experiences. Being focused, being alert, being absorbed into presence — that's the key. If you're involved in worship in your church, or involved in playing in secular locations, the engagement with your deep space, with your interior vertical, I was doing some body prayer in Maui once. I was teaching a course on Celtic spirituality in Maui in Hawaii. Isn't that a cool? It was a really difficult gig to go to. And I was doing body prayer, which we do a lot of in contemplative fire, and this woman said in a strong accent, she came up and said, "I love what you're doing. You do exactly what I do, because I teach flamenco and I do the same movements." And so here was in body prayer, in music, there is a sort of coincidence of opposites. But all of the time, it's about being focused. A rock climber describes a good climb. "I tend to get immersed in what's going on around me, in the rock, in the moves that are involved. The search for handholds, a proper position of the body, so involved that I might lose consciousness of my own identity and melt into the rock." That's a rock climber, nothing to do with music, but it's the same attention to detail and melting in, so there's an absorption, but he's still a rock. He's still a climber. In human development terms, I suppose that could be seen as a loss of ego, self-forgetfulness, loss of self-consciousness, or even transcendence of individuality. Something happens when music takes. And something else happens in the room. We've just had a worship session in Soul Space. Some chants that we hadn't tried before. It was lovely. Some things work, some things don't. Some things are joyful, and some things, that was good. But when something does take, when the flow happens or the swing happens, it feels graced. Professor Gillian Stamp is one of my mentors. She's a wise and hidden woman. She consults to all sorts of people in the business tradition. And she said this to me: wise leaders have the capacity, and this is all of us, we are called to be people of wisdom. This is what Jesus, as the leader of the band, is calling us to be: people of discernment, wisdom, and joy. Wise leaders have the capacity to touch the minute particulars of things and see and link them with whatever the wider canvas is. Notice the connectors. Felt leadership is the capacity to be with the individual at one and the same time as being aware of the global perspective. So you're talking to one person, but as you're talking, you're aware of the big pattern. And the band leader, which in this case is Jesus, or it may be you, is aware of your particular beauty, your particular need for healing or strength, and yet the wider. So it's this both and, it's the minute and it's the big. It's the small chunk and it's the large chunk. Who are the musicians? Who are the musicians in God's orchestra? Sometimes it's the bright celebrities, and sometimes it's the hidden ones, the poor, the unknown ones. Because Jesus calls us to be attuned to the scandal of particularity. When a tiny thing, the particular, the one with his hand out asking for money on the tube, the ones we marginalize and oppress or underlove are actually in the orchestra. They may not know it, or they may know it. But we sort of love people, but we sort of underlove people too. But the very ones God truly in the Jesus journey pays attention to are the hidden ones, the ones who for whatever reason feel out of the band. And then he walks along with them, finds their melody, and journeys with them. That's our task. So Jesus is the human face of God. And together with the hidden ones, and perhaps all of us are hidden ones in some ways, he and we embody and transmit the vulnerable dimension of the divine. Because music is vulnerable too. Sometimes it could be funky and loud and brash and wonderful, and sometimes it's very delicate. I wonder whether the whole kingdom thing of Jesus is truly a paradox of spiritual discipline and holy play. Spiritual discipline, holy play. Costly courage and spotting miracles in microcosm. Music creates miracle. It creates communication even without words, even when the language is different. Somebody's Hungarian and somebody's French. And then something happens. As Muriel Rukeyser says in her poems, to find, and I'm going to ask Mark just to play a touch of the hang, to find, what shall we find? Energies, rhythms, journey. Ways to discover. the song of the way in. Rowan Williams, when he was bishop, was interviewed in 1995, and he said, "Theology is always involved with doing new or odd things with speech. Theology is always involved with doing new or odd things with speech. So Contemplative Fire, the little ministry I'm involved with as a fresh expression, has been committed from the outset to deconstruct and reconstruct language. We take the metaphors and the symbols of liturgy and worship and the ancient patristic tradition and the biblical tradition and break them open. Doing new or odd things with speech. There's always a pattern interrupt. The way Jesus taught was constantly to, oh, there's a surprise factor. He turned and he said often, you have heard it said that, i.e. in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But, and that key preposition, but I say to you. So he coasts with people along the structure, the tradition, and then shifts, and they're awakened. And that place of awakening can happen musically or linguistically, or in all sorts of ways. Going back to the Hasidic tradition, the Jewish tradition, the mystical tradition, Paul Lacy wrote a book called The Inner Way, because this is something about consciousness, what we're talking about. The Spirit brings a shift of consciousness. He says that in the Jewish Hasidic tradition, one puts off the habitual but does not repudiate it. When the habitual is seen afresh, it testifies to the holy. One puts off the habitual, but does not repudiate it. When the habitual is seen afresh, it testifies to the holy. So jazz says and blues says, even when things are tough, keep moving on, keep moving on, keep moving on. Even if the music seems to be flagging or discontent, keep moving on. Even if life feels broken and fracturing, keep moving on. John Dewey was an educational philosopher. He wrote in a book in 1934 called Art as Experience, to the being fully alive, and this is John 10:10, to the being fully alive, the future is not ominous, but a promise. It surrounds the present like a halo. To the being fully alive, the future is not ominous, but a promise. It surrounds the present like a halo. Now, at 2:30 in the morning, or at 3 o'clock in the morning, that sounds great, but it's a bit of a challenge. But the surrounding of the present moment, like a halo, is just what happens in music, and just what happens in teaching, and just what happens in discipleship. Because fully alive is what we're being called to. And music is one of the primary vehicles for drawing people into a full aliveness. Inayat Khan, who I quoted before, says this: what the world is seeking, what the human souls yearn for, is life. It is life which is the real source of healing. Music can heal if life is put into it. If the composer has put life and beauty into his music, it will still prove to be beautiful and life-giving, even after 1,000 years. So some of these ancient chants, I don't know whether we tend to use both ancient and contemporary music, because some of these ancient chants, and if you go to the Coptic Church, it's strange, or the Russian Orthodox, or the Greek Orthodox, these are Christian, but they're timbres that are unusual. But we soak in them, and then they can be teachers. What is really needed, says Inayat Khan, is that life which comes from the expanded consciousness, from the realization of divine light, which is the secret of all true art, and which is the soul of all mysticism. What is life? It is love. And what is love? It is God. And so let's turn to jazz musicians. We've heard from the Archbishop of Canterbury and John Dewey and Inayat Khan. Chico Freeman, an American jazz musician, recalls, I won't do an American accent again, I'll spare you that. I did an interview with Dizzy Gillespie once in Cuba, Chico says. And the guy asks one of those questions you've heard 275 times. He says, what is jazz? Well, Dizzy Gillespie answered the question right away. He said, jazz is the search for truth. And as soon as he said that, the light went on. And I added, this is Chico, and truth is what is, not what was or what will be. Truth is in the moment. To play who you are and what you are in that moment. That's a skill that has to be developed in all musicians. And there's a certain serenity that comes from simply being who you really are. And when you can be who you really are, that's when it happens. Whether it's grace, jazz, swing, flow, healing, speaking with power, whatever. When we are truly who we are, that's Jesus, the teacher, drawing out that truly who you are bit of his people. So it is maybe a model, a metaphor, a symbol for how Jesus trained his disciples. Theophas Smith, this is relating it now to the slavery and black and white segregation in America. Because remember, jazz and blues grew up in this strange context of difference and differentiation and splitting. He wrote in Conjuring Culture, Biblical Formations of Black America. And he writes of the great jazz musicians. And he says this great sentence, giant teachers, these are the jazz musicians, standing up in their genius, on the stand with no luggage and no maps, and ready to go anywhere in the universe together on just sheer holy boldness. That's a fabulous sentence. Giant teachers standing up in their genius, on the stand with no luggage and no maps, and ready to go anywhere in the universe together on just sheer holy boldness. Now, in the kingdom of God, there's no failure. In jazz, there's no failure. There's only feedback. You just do things. Some things go better, some things don't. And the feedback is what you learn from. No failure. The flow goes on. This is why the metaphor of improvisational music, for me, is powerful when we seek new ways of accessing the mystery of Christ. And who is this Christ for me? How is my molecular structure being affected by the kingdom of God? How is Jesus a jazz musician? Is it just a silly idea? Is it a cheap title? No, I think there's something in there which is instructive. His own Jewish upbringing would have included song and dance and lament, as well as exuberance. His ministry incorporated healing and preaching, pattern interrupts, provocative therapy, and a constant need for vigilance and realignment when dealing with problems and bum notes. I need to be vigilant. I need to hear deeply. I need to see deeply. Let's just do a hang. Thank you. Mark Cadell was a filmmaker who made a film called Soweto Strings. And in an article he wrote in the current issue of Resurgence, which just appeared, and I don't normally take Resurgence, it's a great magazine, and here it all was about music. And he writes, a new surge of life cannot happen. A new surge of life cannot happen without the stimulus afforded by malfunction, disequilibrium, or disease. A new surge of life cannot happen without the stimulus afforded by malfunction, disequilibrium, or disease. This is creativity's deep connection with discontinuity and the enjoyment almost of a kind of brokenness. Well, I'm awed by these statements because they're so close to the gospel. I'm awed by these statements who are coming from people who are writing from a secular arena, but their music is taking them into insights which I sense that the communion of saints will be going, oh, yes. This is creativity's deep connection with discontinuity and the enjoyment of a kind of brokenness. So we look at Stockhausen, amazing avant-garde composer. We have the persecution and the suffering of Christ on the one hand, and then we have Stockhausen wrestling with his genius and his vulnerability. In 1968, he writes, I came very close to death, to suicide, and giving myself up in that sense. But after that, I found a supra-religious way for myself. And from that moment on, I became conscious that all my music had these flashlights. In short moments, which in that period in May 68 revealed themselves to me for 7 days and nights without a single break. That was the most, says Stockhausen, that was the most fantastic experience up to then, because I found out that intuition is not something that just happens to you, like a car accident, but that you can call for it and you can develop a technique for it. It comes when you need it. And when you play in a group, Stockhausen says, intuitive music, not written out music, then you badly need it. Otherwise, you only rely on your mechanics, on what you've studied and learned and rehearsed many times. But once you've had this, it never leaves you. You know now, once and forever, that this exists. You know because you haven't thought it or reflected on it. You've experienced it. So intuition is not something that just happens to you. You can call for it, and so with grace. Seek and ye shall find. The Spirit, draw the Spirit in. This is the Jesus tradition saying, oh boy, are there resources out there? Draw them in. So deep knowing, looking at the malfunction and the disconnects, deep knowing at times even of disruption. One of the world's most leading theologians at the moment is Walter Brueggemann. And he's got a great book on the Old Testament, a great book on Psalms. And he borrows a grid from Paul Ricoeur, the philosopher. And it's orientation, disorientation, reorientation, or new orientation. This is the pattern interrupt of jazz improvisation, of the prophetic tradition and of Jesus' own style. So Brueggemann writes, Psalms of orientation assure the reliable coherence of the world. So we think, this is great. This is great. And we had a great dawn on the first day here. And I was with a contemplative fire team leading dawn service on the next day. So we thought, this is so beautiful. This is on Saturday morning, I think. The sun was out, the sky was bright. Woke up, when was it? Yesterday at 2:30 a.m. and it was pouring with rain. At 3:30, I was still awake, and it was still pouring with rain. At 4:30, I thought I'd better get up soon because we've got to supposed to do a dawn service. But the rain came down, but we did a dawn service, and it was absolutely wonderful because we found an acoustic chamber in the overhang, and we were sheltering from the rain. But the Psalms of Orientation was saying, it's cool. Saturday is a great dawn. Maybe it'll be a great dawn tomorrow. We'll see the sunrise. We did see the mist rise. And the rain lift and stop, and then it came back on, but it was a profound moment. So the Psalms of Lament, that's the second one, disorientation. We coast along for a while, life is good, and then something happens. The Psalms of Lament and Protest are articulations of faith amidst dislocation. Carry on, carry on. And these lament, the disorientation psalms, give voice to fear and anger and dismay. So this is an integral part. I know John Bell has been doing stuff on lament. We do are now trying to incorporate lament. This is a critical path on the life of praise, faith, and discipleship. The dark side or the shadow side is as important as the light side. And the incorporation of all of them in the journey is what music can be aiding us in doing. And then lastly, the Psalms of New Orientation. Celebrate the new world that is given in God's vulnerable generosity. So, Benny Green, he did a tribute to Billie Holiday, the great jazz singer. And he claimed that jazz operates on the knife edge of failure. Jazz operates on the knife edge of failure. Humphrey Lyttelton claimed that the power of Louis Armstrong's work was his ability to overcome, as he writes, to overcome and glorify unimaginative backing. I think that's a great phrase. Louis Armstrong's ability to overcome and glorify unimaginative backing and to recover from a bad mistake and continue on his way without the missing of a beat. You just carry on. You incorporate it. There's no failure, only feedback. This is Jesus and the first disciples. Oh boy, mistakes were made. I was once working as a chef in a three-star hotel when I was about 20. I went for a job as a barman. They said, well, we haven't got a chef. Have you cooked? Can you cook? Oh, no. Okay, well, we'll give you 3 weeks trial. This is a three-star hotel in Pembrokeshire. And so I tried cooking. And on the second day of setting up for the pudding, the main chef brought this tray of stuffed peaches, which he'd stuffed. And so I took the tray, and it immediately dropped and all fell on the floor. Now, the chef at this point could have killed me or have made my life, because chefs can be quite nasty people or they can be beautiful. He looked and said, okay, let's stuff the next tray. And this was in 1970-something, I still remember with gratitude his capacity to receive a discontinuity, a pattern interrupt in the thingies, and forgive me, and we went on. And he never mentioned it once again. Cool. So a journey into wholeness. Stephen Nachmanovich is an improvisationalist and violinist. And he's written a book called Free Play, Improvisation in Life and Art. And he creates connections, and somebody who's working with him or on his work called David Robertson, between spiritual direction and jazz improvisation. And Nachmanovich says, improvisation is rooted in the energy of the spirit. I acknowledge my limitations and work within them. And he talks about the bricoleur. A bricoleur is like a handyman or a jack of all trades who can fix anything. Bricolage means to make do with what we have. As Nachmanovich said, the artistic attitude, which always involves a healthy dose of bricolage, frees us to see the possibilities before us. Then we can take an ordinary instrument and make it extraordinary. So, vive la bricolage. And I want us just to join in a little chant on vive la bricolage. So I'd like you to sing that little phrase just for a minute or two. Vive la bricolage, vive la brico, brico, vive la bricolage, vive la brico, brico, vive la bricolage, vive la brico, brico, vive la bricolage, vive la brico, vive la bricolage, vive la brico. So some of you now do a bit of harmony, and if you like the word bricolage, do a brico, brico, bricolage. So we'll play with it a bit. Vive la bricolage, brico, brico, bricolage. Vive la bricolage, brico, brico, bricolage. Vive la bricolage, vive brico, bricolage. Vive la bricolage, brico, brico, bricolage. Vive la bricolage, brico, 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 brico.
Vivla Bricola, 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 Bricola.
Beautiful. Let's go on tour. There's a phenomenon called entrainment, which is the synchronization of two or more rhythmic systems into a single pulse. So if you get a bunch of guys hammering on a building site, gradually after a few minutes, they will fall into the same rhythm without any explicit communication. So in the same way, the body's physiological rhythms resonate with each other. And when improvisers, as we were just doing, we were improvising, play together, they can rely on this natural phenomenon to mesh the music so that they breathe together, pulse together, think together, and in our context, maybe pray together. Ralph Ellison in Shadow and Act, because I am, as I said, sharing with you some gobbets, some quotes from people who are reflecting either spiritually or just on the extraordinary quality of this music. He reflects upon jazz musicians from Oklahoma City. These jazz people, many of them now world famous, lived for and with music intensely. Their driving motivation was neither money nor fame, but the will to achieve the most eloquent expression of idea emotions through the technical mastery of their instruments. And the give and the take, the subtle rhythmical shaping and blending of idea, tone, and imagination demanded of group improvisation. And then, interestingly, for leadership, he goes on. The delicate balance struck between strong individual personality and the group during those jam sessions was a marvel of social organization. This is getting to the point why Jesus is a jazz musician. The delicate balance struck between strong individual personality and the group during the jam sessions was a marvel of social organization. Each artist must learn the best of the past and add to it his or her own personal vision. Life could be harsh, loud, wrong as it wished, but they lived it fully. These are the jazz musicians. And when they expressed their attitude towards the world, it was with a fluid style that reduced the chaos of living to form. And as somebody else, Tom Piazza, wrote in the Guide to Classic Recorded Jazz, in jazz, each instrumentalist has to understand his or her role in the group well enough so that he or she can improvise on it and not just follow directions. So we have three key ingredients in jazz musician and how it applies to our world in discipleship. Respect for the tradition. I need to know what the 4th century father said. You know, I did some training in theology when I was on my way to ordination many moons ago, and I got trained in all this high-level, conceptual, beautiful, but high-level conceptual apparatus about the Trinity and atonement, and good one. I wrestled with it, and I did well and learned that. It was 15 years later when on a conference run by the World Council of Churches in the Coptic Church in Cairo, hosted by the Coptic Patriarch, that a Greek Orthodox theologian gave a paper on the social teaching of the fathers of the church, early 4th century fathers. I'd been immersed in these guys doing high-level doctrine about soteriology, ecclesiology, and so on. And then this impassioned Greek theologian said, these people taught powerfully, care for the poor, release from oppression, and my mouth dropped open, and I was angry. I was angry at my Western Christian tradition that had taught me all this high, sublime, beautiful theology without the other bit. John Chrysostom, Gregory of Nyssa, Basil of Caesarea, these 4th century theologians, were profound pastors to the poor. they moved out in compassion and prophetic justice, as well as being engaged in the mystical vision of God. Now we need both. So respect for the tradition, learning from it without merely repeating it. That's key. We learn from the tradition, we don't just repeat it, but we engage with it. Respect for other players, if you're a leader or you're a follower. We're all leaders and followers in many ways. We have respect for the others and allow their gifts to be drawn forth. So respect for the tradition, the first, respect for other players, and thirdly, in jazz improvisation and discipleship, an openness to learning something new from an old piece and from other players, working with difference and novelty. A great writer, Stanley Hauerwas, explores the relationship between performance and improvisation. And he writes, if Christian faith is from start to finish a performance, it is so, that's in the best sense of the word, it is so only because Christians worship a God who is pure act, an eternally performing God. It is particularly important to our case that improvisation not be thought equivalent to spontaneity, if the latter means undisciplined action. Improvising, after all, is only possible within a disciplinary set of skills. Really interesting distinction. It's not that improvisation, you just make it up as you go along and do, and you haven't got any training. The disciplinary set of skills is important to allow you to be free. This is how theology becomes alive. If we live the tradition, if we get inside the scriptures, if we get inside the teaching, as well as inside jazz or whatever your skilling is, so that we can dance. And Hauerwas continues, performance that is truly improvisatory requires the kind of attentiveness, attunement, and alertness traditionally associated with contemplative prayer. I'll say that again. Performance, this is a theologian now speaking, that is truly improvisatory requires the kind of attentiveness, attunement, and alertness traditionally associated with contemplative prayer. All of which is to say, he says, that the virtuoso is played even as he or she plays. For music plays the performer, as if not more than the performer plays the work. We are being played through. We are flutes being breathed through by the Spirit. And we can do that whether if we think we can't sing or we can't, we can simply move and articulate one word of thanks. We can call our name, or we can call upon the name of God in whichever way, name is appropriate. And we just vocalize that and allow that itself to become prayer. We are breathed through, so we become like the flute. I spent a year in a Russian Orthodox hermitage, which was pretty powerful. It was very difficult, very challenging. And I went to, I think what's been, there's only ever been one, as far as I know, certainly in this country, conference of hermits. There were about 35 hermits from all over Europe gathered in St. David's in Pembrokeshire. And they were a wild bunch. The best hermits are truly integrated people. They'd integrated their sexuality. They were full of life, of joy. They did talk to each other, because hermits come out of their hermitude every now and again. So we had a really good conference. But it hasn't been repeated. That was in 73. And Bishop Kalistos, who's an Oxford Don, Kalistos Ware, he said then, which is, again, always stay with me, he said, Philip, in Orthodoxy, tradition can never be static. Tradition is always dynamic. Otherwise, it becomes traditionalism. So we, the keeping of the energy, the life, the vibrancy of tradition is what we're about. That's what jazz improvisation is about. So, sisters and brothers, we are called to be pioneers. We're called to become skilled in tightrope theology. Because I do believe that Jesus was a pioneer of consciousness. He actually drove through and broke through and opened up and liberated in gentle and powerful ways, liberated consciousness. So, I think my time is drawing to an end, but I would like to say that if you want to buy a CD... From the Sublime to the Ridiculous, there's a CD of a solo hang drum in G music. We do a lot of body prayer where we integrate structure with rhythm and body prayer. And there's one called Sacred Posture in the G Music Tent. And I, a few years ago, did a great interview with Henry Nouwen, which lay dormant in my store for a long time, and in my house. And I thought, gosh, I interviewed this superb bloke. And we had this great interview. He was sitting on a rocking chair. And it was one of my earlier interviews. And I had my sort of little headphone and my microphone. And I'll never do this again. But Henry Nouwen was on this rocking chair and was rocking. And I was with my microphone. And every now and again, he'd slap his thigh and the sound would go. Anyway, none of that. The rocking chair doesn't come out on the CD. But the book, there's a book called Beloved, which I did, which is the result of this interview with Henry Nouwen. And it was like a jam session. There was a sort of fluidity. And he just talked beautifully off the cuff. We've hardly had to edit anything. So G Books has got that. And they said, well, will you please tell him about that? Because it is linked to your talk. And I'm going to do a book signing at 12:30. And I'm scared stiff because I think I'll be there. And nobody will be wanting to buy my book. So it's called Beloved. So, very last thing before Mark and I play you out. Margaret Lamp Canonstein is an artist, because this is not just for the sonic artist, this is for visual artists too. She creates jazz paintings in her Vermont studio from sketches made during performances she has attended. She works in complete silence. You see, that's the paradox too. We need stillness as well as sound. And from the stillness of the heart comes the sound of the spirit. She works in complete silence. And she says, I feel the music come back through me as I paint. There's an element, she's painting jazz. I feel the music come back through me from that stillness as I paint. There's an element of improvisation in it. It's like jazz, chance and control, chance and control. So we are called to be emergent, improvisational, delighters in tradition, but delighters in the free play of God. Thank you.